The folks couldn't listen to that in the condition they're in. I always said if I ever got backslidden, there's some folks I know I couldn't get with the sound of a gospel song. It'd bring me under conviction. A good song has a message in it, don't it?
Amen.
And we appreciate that. Good special for us tonight. I want you to open your Bibles. We're just going to kind of continue almost with the announcements. I want you to open your Bibles to 1st and 2nd Thessalonians. I'll probably read a couple of verses out of each one of the books, 1st and 2nd Thessalonians. Nothing new. I'll remind us of a little bit. One of the biggest troubles with our fallen nature is we have to keep reminding it what's right all the time, because it goes astray automatically. And it makes mistakes, of course, automatically. I want to just kind of continue, and I'll get into this thought in a little bit, I hope, why we're having the prayer rally this Friday. We're having it on the day that we could get the building, for one thing, but I mean, why are we having it in general? I'll move to that in a little bit. And one of the first reasons that I would say to you is because of the darkness of the hour. Now, turn with me to 1 Thessalonians and look at the last chapter. In chapter 4, Paul has been telling these brothers at Thessalonica that the Lord is coming. He's told them that the Lord is going to come. And he said in verse 14, if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. That's our loved ones that's died before us. Going to meet him in the rapture, amen?
Amen.
Now, he goes on to elaborate a little bit. He says, we're going to be caught up together with them in the clouds, in verse 17, to meet the Lord in the air. Then when he gets over to chapter 5, he's got that conjunction, that word but, that crosses the street on us, gives us the opposite. So he says, but of the times and the seasons, brothers, you have no need that I write unto you. I hope this throat will clear in a minute. He said, you really have no need I write to you, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. Now, the day of the Lord is talking about the time when the Lord comes back and brings judgment. You can read about it in Revelation 19 when he comes back leading the armies of heaven. And he said, when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. Now here's that word again, but. But ye brethren, now he changes gears. He's coming back in judgment on those that reject him. Lost folks, we'd call them in a general term. But brethren, see it changes in verse 4. But ye brethren are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. Now, he goes on to say, you're all children of the light, children of the day. We're not of the night, nor of darkness. Therefore, because we're not in darkness, therefore let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. Then I really like verse 9, for God hath not appointed us to wrath. Now you got a crowd out there that says we got to go through the tribulation period under the wrath of God and the plagues and the trumpets. No. The wrath of God fell on my substitute, Jesus Christ, on the cross of Calvary. My sins have been paid for. I will have reward depending on how I've worked for the Lord or not worked for him after I got saved. But thank God my debt's been paid on the cross of Calvary. So God hath not appointed us, saved people, to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. So that's the opposite. That's the opposite. Now this letter written from Paul to the church at 1 Thessalonica is written to him, and then he's warned them they're not in darkness. Understand, they're not. But when you get over to chapter 2 and he writes the second letter, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, you find out the folks are confused a little bit. Some of them are. Maybe some arguments going on. And they're a little mixed up. So you pick it up in verse 1 of chapter 2. Now we beseech you, brethren, still writing to brethren now. You got to rightly divide the Bible. If you don't rightly divide it, you get all messed up. He, do you understand every word in this Bible is not written directly to you? Do you understand sometimes in this Bible the devil's even speaking? You gotta understand who's being spoken to, what it's about, what the subject's about. So all of that is rightly divided. So here in verse 1, now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together in him. Now, who's the our here? The our is the brethren, the saved folks. What are they going to do? They're going to gather together unto him. Now, he warns them in verse 2, don't soon be shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit. That could be a demon spirit, devil spirit. Nor by the word, nor by word. Somebody's word of mouth, some gossip. Nor by letter, as from us. Paul said, somebody may have even written you a fake letter and signed my name to it. Now, it's amazing they could do that in that day. Today, they do it on the internet. But a fake letter. As that the day of Christ. Now, watch it. We've been seeing in verse 1, the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, our gathering to him. Now, these people thought maybe we've missed that. And therefore, the day of Christ, or judgment, is about to come on us. That's the mistake they were making. And I don't think all of them in church at Thessalonica, but there's a discussion going on with this. Verse 3, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first. And you can argue about that, but mainly I think it's a coldness. And it's a time that Laodicean church time, lukewarmness, falling away, apostasy, and that man of sin be revealed. Now that man of sin is the Antichrist. We know that. And he'll be revealed. Don't say he'll be born. It says he'll be revealed. The son of perdition. And I want to get off into that study, but you remember that word that Jesus used with Judas. Even when he prayed the prayer in John 17, he told the Father he kept all of them except who? The son of perdition, remember? So we understand the Antichrist here. Now, what we need to understand very clearly here is that we are not looking as saved people for the Antichrist to show up. We may have an idea who he is. I think he's on earth. But you and I are supposed to be looking for our gathering together unto Jesus. That's what we commonly call the rapture, and that's okay. Now, here's what's happening today. There's some folks making the same mistake that some folks made in the church of Thessalonica. And that is, they're saying, well, Jesus hadn't come. He's not going to come until the day of Christ comes and the Antichrist is revealed. Now, that's not right. No, we're looking for Jesus. Now, I believe if the rapture takes place tonight, the Antichrist could be very much ready to walk out and begin to take over. But I don't want to get off into that. I'm just simply saying, thank God we're looking for what's called in the Bible, the blessed hope. Amen. The Antichrist is not my blessed hope. Jesus Christ is, amen? And so, be straight on that. I'm hearing rumors and even reading some, and it even made the national news not long ago, where some preacher went off into Harrison, wrote a book, and made a bunch of money off of saying that nobody's going to hell. Remember that? That was in the news not long ago. So all kind of heresies and deception is showing up in the last days, and I do believe we're in the last days. And I believe you're going to be surprised at some of the stuff that shows up even in good churches and in good circles. And so I'm saying to you, say, well, what's that got to do with the prayer rally? I'm saying we are in dark days, but you and I are not supposed to be in darkness. And that's what Paul told the church here at Thessalonica. You don't have to be in darkness. I've enlightened you. I've told you. I wrote and told you what was right. Now, I believe the darkness we're in today in the sense of our nation, in the sense of sin and immorality and all the bad stuff that you read and hear about every day, I do believe with all my heart we are in a time of increased satanic activity, as probably hasn't been up to this time. It is getting worse. There's an Antichrist spirit. I do not believe he has been revealed. You say, I heard you call somebody the Antichrist. Well, listen, I may call somebody else one. And the truth of the matter is, if I keep calling enough of them, I'll hit one of these days. Amen. I may have already hit. Who knows? But we won't know. And we're not supposed to have to know. We're supposed to get out of here and then look down, and then we'll know. Amen. That's the blessed hope of the coming of the Lord for those that are saved. But there is a satanic spirit really increasing today. This morning on the news, and some of you might have seen it on Fox News, they were covering. And by the way, on the late news, just as I was leaving the house, I saw the ticker tape on the bottom of the news say something there too. Let's see if I can remember what it was. All right. This morning on the news, the National Cathedral is right after 9/11, where Bush and all of them went in there. Billy Graham was still able to be in there. And of all things, they had a Muslim Amman there, preacher. Remember that? Remember the National, that's where they met, in the National Cathedral. And President Bush got up and said, "It's a loving religion, my foot." That kind of love will cut your head off, you know. But they did. And I know it was all political to try to say, if we just pacify this crowd, they'll quit being so mean. No, no, no. That's the backbone of their religion, is to conquer this world and do it with a sword. But with that all said, that National Cathedral there, they're having a 9/11 rally. They're having 9/11 rallies everywhere. And they're going to have one in the cathedral. By the way, they're having one at Ground Zero. And Mayor Bloomberg of this city won't let them have prayer. And you got a crowd wanting to get rid of that cross that appeared accidentally. Remember the metal cross that was left at Ground Zero? So they're fussing about that, even though it was not erected by anybody. They cleaned it off, and the debris in there, it was accidentally, so they left it there. There's a fuss about that. But Bloomberg says there can be no preacher, no clergy, no prayer, even though he is for building the mosque there, remember? That's amazing, isn't it? Now, this morning on the news, and I did appreciate Fox News of coming out with this and showing it. This morning on Fox News, at the meeting in the National Cathedral, they're going to have imams, Muslim imams. They're going to have some of the lamas, you know, of the Dalai Lama. I don't know, that's a strange bunch. But anyway, they're going to have one of them. They're going to have some Buddhists, and they're going to even have a Buddhist nun. I didn't know there was such thing as that either. I did like what one of the newsmen said. He said, one of the ladies said, "There are not very many Buddhists, especially Buddhist nuns." He said, "Oh, you could probably put them all in a phone booth." I like that. Anyway, but here was what it was about. There will be no evangelicals and no Baptists. And they said that several times, no Baptists. And it come across the ticker tape, no Baptists. Now I understand some of the Baptists are going to complain about it. But here's the point. The point is, there's a satanic spirit separating out against Christianity. They're not against Muslims. Satan will promote that. He'll promote the Buddhists, the Hindus, any false religion, but that spirit moves against Christianity. There is an Antichrist satanic spirit right now working overtime, and you see it almost daily here in America. Now, that's too bad. At the same time, you've got media manipulation of putting a spin on everything wrong, even to the little things. I noticed where our ad was in the Ledger or in the News Chief. I believe it was in the Ledger yesterday, the News Chief today. Right above our ad was a picture of the president on one side, and it was a dignified looking picture. On the other side, they had a picture of Sarah Palin, and they took her picture while she had her mouth opening on a campaign speech, caught her with her mouth open. See, that's manipulation. And then the caption under it said, "Palin blasts the president." So they got a picture with their mouth open. You can't speak without opening your mouth. Amen. But see, there's manipulation going on. They put their bias everywhere. The biggest thing they hate about her is she identified as a Christian to start with, way back there. And a lot of the rest of them that have. But that's the way the media works. Now, we are in the darkness. Why do we need a prayer rally? Because if we love our country at all, if we love what kind of future our kids are going to have, then, brother, we ought to have a prayer rally. We ought to do anything we can to bring our country back where it ought to be. Now, reason to have it is the darkness of the hour. Here, these folks at Thessalonica made a mistake. They thought the rapture had already taken place, and they were fixing to go on the judgment of the day of Christ, and they were looking for the Antichrist. One of the best ways to test a fellow on his theology is ask him if he believes the rapture could be imminent. You got that? Yes, it is imminent. Been imminent for a long time, but it's still imminent. Now, if he says no, say what's got to happen first. And if he says, well, the man of sin's got to be revealed, then he's not rightly dividing his Bible. He is off. He is off. You find him off in that, you'll find him off when it comes to rightly dividing other things. Way of salvation and other things. Now, we ought to want to have the prayer rally because it is a dark time of need. But then also, God's power is still available and able. He's able. He says, you read over in what, Isaiah 59, he says over there that when the enemy shall come in like a flood, God shall lift a standard against him. And that's a millennial setting, really, nearing the end of the time of dealing with the Jews and setting up the millennial kingdom, where God is talking about that when that, and I believe it's flooding in today. I believe the enemy is flooding in. But God's power is still able to raise a standard against the enemy. So we ought to ask for that. The scripture talks about having not because we ask not. And I do believe in asking. I do not believe in commanding. I do not believe in the TV thing of commanding God around. I think you're on dangerous ground with that. But he does give us permission to ask. And we ought to ask. We ought to ask God to raise a standard against him. Now, God has the power. I've been here 40 years as pastor. I would not be here except for the power of God. For answered prayer, demonstrating that power. I've seen it happen in this ministry so many times. So many examples we could give. So many financial challenges like it's been during this recession time. And by the way, folks, it's been a big 3-year plus recession, and maybe the last 2 years even worse, and now they're saying it's even worse. I understand all that. And yet, in the midst of it, we're still here. We're still running the school. We're still running the radio station. We're still running the college by the grace of God. Amen. Barely. But it's miraculous how God just at the right time touches somebody and we make ends meet again. We've been on the budget on the offering now 3-4 weeks in a row, bad. And you'll find out when you read the bulletin this Sunday, somebody gave a big amount. By the grace of God, we just about broke even. Now, that's hard on your disposition. Lester Roloff sings that song on the radio all the time, living by faith, and I feel no alarm. Well, I'm going to be truthful. I live by faith, and I feel a lot of alarm. Most of us do. Lord, I believe, but help thou my unbelief. That's the cry of most of us, to a great degree, to be honest. Sure, sure. But I've seen him come through so many times. I remember one of my deacons, Brother Ed Thompson. He's been in heaven a while now. But Brother Ed was a fireball. He was always enthusiastic, even when his health was so bad. Brother Hill, you remember one time he called the office. And you remember the commercial on TV where they're advertising that thing you wear and push a button, you know? he called and said, I've fallen and I can't get up. And he was not lying. My brother Wallace and I run out there, and he fell between his car and the wall of his garage, and we had to drag him out of there and get him up. Now, I'm just saying that, Brother Ed, love the Lord. He's with the Lord now, but he was always up, always enthusiastic. When you shook hands with him, he always said, anybody told you today? Anybody told you today? Well, I love you and God loves you. And that's the way he was all the time. But he told me this. He said, preacher, don't worry about it. He said, God's going to send you every man you need and every dollar you need until Jesus comes. So when I had his funeral, I looked at him in front of the crowd and I said, I'm holding you to the promise, Ed. And the truth is, I've seen God do that. I've seen God's power do that so many times. That does not make me not feel the alarm. I feel it, but I do see God's hand in doing that. And I've seen that here in the ministry. I've seen so many examples of his blessings, things we've survived. Just amazing. We've survived things you wouldn't even think about. I got reminded of some of it just recently. We've survived the gossip that's been about us for many years. You know what I'm saying? I've never seen such a day and time for folks pulling nothing out of the air and having no conscience about lying. I don't believe it used to be quite that bad. They'll do it today over the phone, over the internet. They'll do it any kind of way. It's amazing. Somebody told me recently, said a couple of your members found you somewhere you were not supposed to be. I said, what were they doing there? I have no idea where I wasn't supposed to be. If it was in Publix, I wasn't supposed to be there. My wife was supposed to be there. I have no idea about that, but I'm joking. It didn't happen. I heard just recently, a fellow said, you know why your church has grown so big through the years? I said, yeah, God's been good to us. He said, oh no, it was that trip you made to Washington, got all that funding to build that school and college. That's the truth. That's what they said. Went to Washington, got some money, and come back. That is funny, folks. That really is. You're looking at a preacher that's never accepted a penny or a thin dime of handout from Uncle Sam whatsoever. None of this ministry had. I do remember when we were working on restoring the old hotel down there, and we were into it, boy, day and night, and you know how we were doing, all of us. And some folks I knew, a couple came up and stood around till I finally interrupted whatever I was doing to talk to them, and here's what they wanted to know. They said, we want to know where you applied to get the grant and the funding to do this. Now, I wasn't mean to them because I knew them, but I said, well, it's a little higher than that. Much higher than that, brother. No, we never had no such thing as that. But to this day, there's people tell that lie, tell that story, tell that I had to go to Washington to get funds. Now, I did go to Washington on my own expense to fight with them up there. And we had a big fight for a week up there, brother. And we went as cheap as we could go. I stayed in the same motel room with a veteran that was a pastor. He'd surrendered to the Lord on the bloody cold, frozen field of Korea, holding his dead buddy in his arms when he surrendered to the Lord. He was up there fighting another battle with me against the IRS trying to close Christian schools. Jimmy Carter was president. No kin to me, I hope. I have been told he was, but I hope that's not true. Anyhow, he was president, and he was literally trying to shut down the Christian school movement all across the country. And Ronald Reagan ran against him. A bunch of us preachers went to Texas. We rented a ball field stadium and had some side rooms on it. Scotty, you might have been there. It's been a long time, back when Reagan was fixing to, and was starting to run against Jimmy Carter. And we, all us preachers, got in the room with Ronald Reagan, and he said, "If you get me elected, I will shut down the Department of Education that's trying to close your Christian schools down." He said, "I will fire the IRS commissioner." His name was Jerome Kurtz. He said, "I will fire him, and I will do my best to shut down the Department of Education." That was his promise. He did get elected. Jerome Kurtz saw the polls. He quit before he could get fired. Praise God. And Reagan cut the budget. Earl Lee's back there. He knows the story. We went up there right in the Department of Education office and argued with them. And boy, Reagan's name was mud because he was cutting their budget, trying to close them. That's where Bob Billings, that died here, we had his funeral. Brother Bob Billings was involved up there, got on Reagan's staff to help us out, and we won the battle. We got it corrected. We hadn't had any more of that stuff since. And I'm just simply saying that was God's power. That was prayer, man. That was people that trusted God in a time. There would have been no Christian schools if that thing had went through. It would have shut us all down. It was close. It had to have three readings. Two of them had passed. I found out about it by the grace of God here and alerted some other brethren. We got up there in time that we stopped it from ever being read the third time. And it's too much to get into now, but I'm simply saying I've seen God's power in this ministry. So because I have, I don't hesitate to ask again, to keep on asking, to keep on believing. Amen. I've seen him protect us from the dirty gossip. I've seen him protect us from financial ruin. I've seen him protect us from the bureaucrats who would pass laws to shut us up. I've seen God do that. Too much to be a coincidence, folks. Had to be that God got in it. And I say we ought to have the prayer rally because God tells us to. Tells us to. We're commanded to occupy how long? Till he comes. Till he comes. So I can't just sit down and say, "Okay, I'm getting older. I'm tired. Lord, come on quick before I drop dead." And I may pray that way sometime. But the truth is, he said, "No, keep on fighting. Stay on the team. Stay on the field. Stay in the game. Don't drop out." That's what he's saying. And at the best, it may only buy us some time. Flip with me to the Old Testament, 2 Kings. 2 Kings chapter 20, 23 maybe. Let me show you a deal. Most kids have learned about a king that came on the throne in Israel or Judah when he was 8 years old. Do you remember that? Remember his name? His name was Josiah. He came to the throne when he was 8 years old. He began to reign, the Bible tells us in 2 Kings 22. He turned out to be a good one. When they found the word of God and he saw what he was supposed to be doing, he did it. You know what he did? Boy, this wouldn't be politically correct. But when they found the book of the law in the house of the Lord and gave it to him, he found out what he was supposed to be doing. Boy, he got busy. In chapter 23, he break down the houses of the Sodomites. Where were they? They were by the house of the Lord. That's exactly what they're trying to do today. They're trying to get into churches, and they're trying to get laws now to where my Christian school or my college, if I have an opening and they come apply for it, I cannot turn them down because they're Sodomites. They've got that, they're fighting for that law right now. That sort of stuff. You know what else he did? He messed up the idol worship. See, these folks were going to an old god, fake god by the name of Moloch, that had a fire in his belly and his arms sitting out. He's sort of like a big old fat Buddha with his hands out. And they'd take their babies and put them on the hands, and they'd roll down into his old belly where the fire was burned and the babies were sacrificed. The Jews were doing that. Can you imagine that? Well, today we call it abortion. Amen. Help yourself. Got on white coats. I don't know if those priests had on white coats or not, but killed the baby just the same. But you move on down, and old Josiah, he got rid of the fortune tellers. It says in chapter 23, verse 24, moreover, the workers with familiar spirits and the wizards. Oh, Harry Potter wouldn't have fared too good there. Moreover, workers with familiar spirits and the wizards and the images and the idols and all the abominations that were spied in the land of Judah and in Jerusalem, did Josiah put away that he might, what do you want to do? He might perform the words of the law. Went by the book, which were written in the book. Now, all that's so good, he was doing it right, doing what he's supposed to do, cleaning up the political mess that he'd inherited. He was taking care of business because it had really brought the judgment of God before he became king. And when he saw the law and saw what he was supposed to do, he did it. But I want you to look at something a little sad. If you go to chapter 23 and pick up the last two verses, it says there was no king before him that turned to the Lord with all his heart and with all his soul and with all his might according to all the law of Moses. Neither after him arose there any like him. I misled you a little bit. That's verse 25 of chapter 23. And then I want you to look at verse 26 of chapter 23. This is the sad part. What's the word? Notwithstanding. I want you to get this now. Josiah did good. He cleaned house. He got rid of the false gods. He got rid of the familiar spirits. He got rid of the Sodomites. He obeyed the law of God, the book. But watch it, verse 26. Notwithstanding, the Lord turned not from the fierceness of his great wrath wherewith his anger was kindled against Judah, because of all the provocations that Manasseh had provoked him withal. Do you understand that Manasseh had done so bad and bought the land so low that even when the young king Josiah came on the scene and cleaned it up, it was still too late? God only postponed his judgment until Josiah died, and then he brought it. My, think about it. Here's what I had you read that for. Let's go pray. Let's do a lot of praying. Let's stand up for what's right. Let's have a prayer rally. Let's remind and get folks to remember 9/11. And maybe we can buy some time. Will we turn God's wrath away? I don't know. But we're supposed to try. Notwithstanding, will God still judge America? I think so. But my job is to do what Josiah did. Take a stand like he took. And then it's up to God. Does God say, okay, give you time for your grandkids to grow up? Does he say that? I don't know. But I know we're supposed to try. So that's why we're going. That's what it's about. And it may be, and there's a good chance of it, that America has passed the point of no return. Do you know what I mean by that? You ever been to Stone Mountain? Got a little short fence on it, hadn't it? You don't want to go past there because you can't back up. You can't turn around. You can't crawl back up. You cross the point of no return, you're gone. There's some rivers and falls like Niagara Falls. There's a place there you don't want to go too far down the river before you can't paddle back. It's too strong. And have we crossed the point of return? I don't know. I'm not supposed to have to know. I'm supposed to just obey that God said, go ahead and keep doing right till I get there. Occupy till I come. And not surrender. Paul said, having done all to what? Stand. Stand. And I want to say to you, I am suffering from no illusion that we'll go down and have a rally at the county seat and save America. I'm suffering no illusion on that. But I'm saying that if all of God's people did, there'd be a chance. And whether all do or not, we're doing right to try. So that's why we're going. That's what it's all about. That's why we're going. The same power that's delivered this ministry through the years, and the same power that's blessed us to have an opportunity to raise our kids and the health we have and everything else good God's given us, all of that. He's not, here's something we need to remember. God is never suffering from a shortage of power. He is never too weak to do anything. He does it whether it's according to His will, right and best in the long run. So we trust Him with that. So as we get on our buses, as we pray about it, as we try to go down, we are really just simply saying God still has some folks that hadn't bowed their knee to Baal. God still has some folks that'll call on Him in faith and in belief. And I want to be part of that crowd, don't you? Amen. I want to be that one. So I challenge you, if you can, and we're not going to excommunicate you if you can't. I'm joking with you now, so you don't know what the word means. I'll get you a dictionary. But with all that said and done, come if you can. Let's do what we can do. Some of you can't get off from the job and all that sort of thing, and that's understandable. And college students, if you've already hired out to somebody, you don't mistreat your boss. If he lets you go, fine. Don't just disappear without him knowing and then explain later. No, sir. You do the Christian thing. You do the right thing there. And I want to say that I'm asking God's blessing. I want you to pray that the weather will be fine. We'll be in the building, but I want you to pray that we'll be able to find all the parking we need and that God will just get honor out of it, that it'll just be a good testimony, that a lot of people love God and believe in Him enough. And if we love our country and the future of our kids, it will take time and go ask God's blessing.